You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
But listen, I just told that story for the first time. I think I may have halfway told it before. And because I got five or six security guys with me, some crew, with my wife, broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, about to go eat. And I was physically looked at him as I'm walking and was like pushed back. And my wife's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Look." And then I'm like, and then they just turns and gets, I was like, "Am I seeing this?" And folks, I'm telling you, it looked like scarier than like the remake in the 90s of Nosferatu. I mean, it looked like, I thought like vampire. In fact, I said on here before, I saw guys in black look like vampires. And I kind of looked at the other people with them, and they were all in black, fedoras, black jackets. It was just cold. And they were piling into an SUV, and they were laughing and talking, but the big one turned and looked at me, and it was like, and it was just like the skin was all like scarred looking, totally white, like translucent. And this is what people say. And I just reminded by Lewis, our social media guy, has been there for 15 years. He said, "Don't you remember when Fritz Springmeier was here? He talked about that. And what you just said, that he only saw them a few times and they put him in prison because they were so upset about his book. And then a few times in his, he'd wake up at night, turn the light on, and they would, the same guys were there in his room." Folks, I'm just telling you, this is all real. I mean, I saw this bigger than Dallas, and I've one time when I was like 12, you know, they drop you off of the truck to go to your deer stand out in the, you know, your tree stand out nowhere, and there are mountain lions in East Texas, and I heard like a mountain lion roar, and it scared me that time. This was nothing like it. It was a, saw it, registered, and then just was pushed up against the wall. And my wife's like, "Are you all right?" So I'm going to stop telling the story. That happened. But you're an expert on this, and it ties into it all. So I'm going to shut up. Let's get into Men in Black and then everything that's happening.
Well, absolutely. These are the types of experiences, though, that, you know, it goes. It's intergenerational very often as well. If there's some kind of pattern of tracking in relation to this. But it instantly, when you talk about something like that, I think directly of Aleister Crowley's involvement with the entire UFO issue very early on. And it's quite fascinating because I put up a few exhibits, but right in the beginning there, there's an exhibit of Lamb, who's a very interesting and important character. Try to think of the name. It's actually number 5 is the exhibit. But Lamb is very important because this was literally Crowley communicating with an alien, or what he thought was an alien. And he had gone directly.
When he went into the pyramid and did this ritual, this is what he drew. Before the whole great thing was seen, any of this was this.
Now, this is important because the grays had not been reported. You're exactly right. That picture's from 1920. So what was he seeing? He's already dealing with the gigantic head and the strange entity. So instantly we have a hint of what's to come. By the time you get to the 1960s, you're dealing with the gray aliens. And by the time the 1980s, you have something that doesn't even look human at all. It's just a bubble head with black eyes. So certainly they increased their frequency in relation to this. And we started to hear over and over again in relation to witnesses about breeding programs. And this wasn't the government breeding aliens. This was the other way around.
And that leads us to what Matt Gaetz is saying, being visited by the Army and briefing them on human-alien hybrids.
Yes, exactly. And this is the interesting thing, because it sounds like over the course of time, the process has come back to us and we're doing the reverse engineering on the alien bodies. Now, I can tell you somebody very solid in the background there. His name was Sar Barker. He was a top physicist in America. And he said, "We looked at these crashes. We thought the beings that were inside were insects because their bodies were kind of constructed. But we definitely thought the bodies were made. They weren't physical organic life. So somebody had made these kind of androids to go out." And he said they were developed like insects so they could pick up the tremendous G-force that went along with all of this. So when you look at that, I think we're really talking about people who were inside and were part of the actual UFO file. Now, those voices, even Robert Sarbark, you can't even find a Wikipedia page on him. He's been wiped out of history, essentially. But he was as big an Oppenheimer in his time. And in fact, he came out and helped these researchers in the 80s and 90s and said, "Look, this is what's going on. We redeveloped all this stuff." Then he died. So when we look at those people in the background, they've told us, they've kicked it off. And, you know, there's trying to be a lot of misinformation and people saying, well, you know, MJ-12 wasn't real or whatever it is. You have real people on the record. There's too much important information in the background. So now I think the groups inside the government, like the Expertech group, are looking at this and they're saying, you know what? We need the narrative control. We need to control the narrative and we need a program for doing that. So if they're talking now back there about a UFO threat, or if you have J.D. Vance saying, well, you know what? UFOs are demons. I mean, it's very extraordinary. That's a vice president, and he's talking about a phenomena and ascribing his own religious belief to it.
Yeah, regardless, they're getting ready for some big disclosure, whether it's true or not. Do you think Trump actually wants the truth, and is he getting the truth?
Well, I think Trump thinks in terms of advantages, and he wants to be historic, but he also has been trying to pull that UFO file back under executive control. He knows, going all the way back to John F. Kennedy, Kennedy was trying to do the same thing. Eisenhower instructed him to get it back from the corporations and bring it back under the executive branch because then it was accountable to the government. Now, if we look at that history, what's going on is Trump is leapfrogging in the middle of all this because his uncle gave him that knowledge very early on. And when we look at John Trump, we have an extraordinary figure right in the heart of the UFO file because he worked for Vannevar Bush. He was Vannevar Bush's protege.
And people thought Trump was dumb when he on Fox said, I know about nukes, I know about my uncle. It was like he's saying, I know the future.
Yes, exactly. And I think this has been part of the problem with Trump. He has three main characters in the background that make him very dangerous for the deep state, but also he can be co-opted by the deep state if he's not careful. Like we're seeing the things, the reports that you've been doing about Iran are absolutely spot on. This is something that is so unlike Trump and totally against his philosophy in general that we have to think the whole administration has been co-opted in some regard. And unless they get control back from that group and get out of those wars in the Middle East, which were the big bane of the W. Bushes and all that, then that's a whole neocon thing. We've been through that movie. The thing is, the core thing about the actual UFO file is it gets us into a totally different paradigm. The group on the inside, what they've been trying to do is create a sky event, and they have gone through various drone permutations like the drone waves over these bases, and they're saying, you know, we're having drones over Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's house or Marco Rubio. You're never going to have a drone over some of their houses. They must know exactly what the origin of that is, and if they don't, then we're in really, really deep trouble because that's an extraterritorial force that's basically saying we have impunity to do anything we want in your skies. And the only reason I think there's maybe a possibility that that is exactly what's happening is it was happening to Trump when he was president-elect, and he was kind of going around in those motorcades. And what did he do when he heard about all these drones and everything? He said, well, I'm putting a drone buster on top. You saw the cars driving around with drone busters. Well, you know, if we had control of our skies, obviously that wouldn't be the kind of thing that was happening. And
it basically the breakaway civilization harassing the regular civilization, or is it multiple breakaways?
There's no question. They do splinter off. There's no question about it. There are divisions. There are factions. But when you're talking about blackmailing the actual government, this group, which is member right between a corporate state and the actual state, this group has access to that technology for 80 years. They're the ones who have it. We are the ones who want it. Right. And we are on almost like a loan basis with these people. So, we have this whole thing about the moon mission going on. This is absolutely fascinating because this has been promised for years and years. These guys that are going up right now, they're not even going to land on the moon. They're just doing an orbit around the moon. And this should be fascinating. But one of the things that they said taking off, there were two very, very unusual things. I'm not sure people picked up on this. One of the things was the leader.
About Artemis II. So again,
Artemis II.
Going back to the moon since the 70s. And then it's launched on April Fool's. We see the big rocket take off. Keep going.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And this is fascinating because what happens is the leader of that mission says, this is the first time we're going to the moon. I mean, that's very, you know, he knows that's going to be picked up and say, hey, we never went to the moon in the first place. So it's a weird statement for him to make. The second one.
And he couches it, though, first time go to the moon with us still in low orbit. So it obviously it's meant to be covered by that, but very provocative. Yeah. Exactly. They're stirring us up.
Exactly. They know what people are going to be grabbing the headline for. You know, this reminds me of when the COG commander came out and said, oh, yeah, we shot down a UFO. Well, they shot down a balloon in that case, but they're trying to prep people's minds for this. And the thing about the Sky event that I think is so crucial is they need a deep event, just like they needed a deep event with 9/11, just like they needed the, you know, the COVID op and all the rest. They need a deep event in relation to space and the UFO file. And they've been brewing this threat. So what you're seeing in the headlines over and over again is threat, threat, threat. They have to gin up the UFO file as a threat because then they can control the threat.
Absolutely. So let's expand on that. But just go back to Artemis II. You have the commander of the mission. We'll play the club. When I saw it yesterday, I went, he says, first time we got on the moon with people in low Earth orbit. So he says it, he's smiling to say we'd ever went, but then to say, no, I meant with us in low Earth orbit at the same time. Obviously provocative. Why are they stirring it up? Here's the club.
It might land wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome. Like, we should, as humanity, we should take a brief moment to go, that's awesome. One of the things that we most asked for and look forward to is we are going to do a crew conference between Integrity and the International Space Station, the crew that's up there.
That's extraordinary. It really is. And he knows that he's putting that across there and that this is the first time Americans have gone back to the moon in over 50 years. So to lay it out there makes it sound like, oh, we never went there in the first place. This is absolutely crucial because they laid out those rumors themselves in the very early stages. It was NASA who was behind the rumors that we didn't go. How do you square that? Why would they want those types of rumors out there?
Well, what is your bottom line? Because you love to get into all the facts. That's great. Your personal opinion. What really happened? Did we go to the moon? From all my evidence, we got a way more advanced space program. I had friends that were on the main mission on the ground running, and they said, no, we were communicating with it, but there was a bunch of other weird stuff. We saw other craft flying everything around, which has been released before. So what really happened?
Well, they were operating with a kind of torsion physics. They've never shared that. Nobody else has it. That's why nobody else has gone to the moon and come back. You know, the Russians can send unmanned probes there. Big deal. You know, we've been doing it for 60, 70 years. And the fact that we have manned missions that go back to 1969, if you look at that, the Russians, the Chinese, nobody's been able to do that.
Well, that's what I was told by Raymond Teague. He wouldn't give me the classified stuff. He had, like, presidential commendation letters on his wall. It was, like, on record, like, running the cameras on the moon. He said, listen, we went. There was other stuff. I can't get into it. I didn't even know. But it was, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. What did they find on the moon? This is the problem. And if they found ruins on the moon, that's a very big problem in terms of how do you deal with human society in relation to that? How do you measure their reaction and all the rest of it? So that was the subject of a study all the way back in the 1960s by the Brookings Institute. How would humanity react if we found ruins on Mars or the moon? So they've been studying this for a long, long time. The fact is they knew what they were going to encounter when they got up there.
And why is Mars, they were also scared off, with a massive radioactive ice tub that's only from hydrogen bombs?
Yes. And here's another thing when you get around that issue. Isn't it interesting that we have this tie-in with the UFO file and nukes? Over and over again, this has come up, and we have a number of cases where UFOs have just hovered over nuclear bases and shut down their missiles. So whoever is operating that technology, and again, I think what you're looking at is a group that is completely alien in the sense that they are not human. And I think what you're looking at is our imitation of that group based on the fact of our own communications with them or our own redevelopment of their technology. That's the biggest problem in the heart of all this, which is to think of it just as you were saying, as some group that's out there in Alpha Centauri who comes and visits once in a while, doesn't make any sense. But something that is beyond us on a dimensional level that we're trying to communicate with and that groups in our own human past communicated with, that's the different level. That is the mystery school level of understanding all of this. And that's where people on the good side, you know, like a Rudolf Steiner, were trying to say, hey, you know, there's this Ahriman figure and he's influencing humanity in the 21st century. This is going to be his big heyday. And then you have people like Crowley on the other side saying, I can conjure up this being and I can interact with his knowledge and take over the world. You know, so you have these factors going on in the background, but there's no question that there's a mystery school war in the background of all this that manifests as a scientific war in the background. That's where the breakaway aspect comes in. We have to understand there's a group that holds the advanced technology and that they are above congressional censure. They're above the president. This is the problem. And the president is the constitutional authority in the country. So this back and forth with the Space Force and all the rest of it, The problem with Trump, I think, in this case, is that they're trying to get him into the war mode around space. And, you know, space is a warfighting domain. And Kennedy said exactly the opposite. Kennedy said, we're going up there to create an entire different frontier for humanity. And Kennedy was very well-versed and read in on the UFO file because he had been so close with Forrestal and all these others who knew so much about it. And he also knew that people were assassinated by this Ex-Protect group over the UFO file. And I consider him one of the most high-profile people who was eliminated over this program. You know, we have
many officials, generals, and their staff, and all these scientists are being killed and disappearing. I mean, this is big stuff's happening.
Well, this is 2026. Welcome to 26. Welcome to Thunderdome. Right? We're going hardcore into the hardcore point of this. And the point of
By
it
the way,
is...
you were on a few years ago. You predicted stuff was about to get very violent.
Yes, exactly. Well, they get violent at a point where their program's exposed and it gets ahead of them. This is the nature of the problem with the Ex-Protect group. And usually, as I've said, they're more subtle. And you can see their subtle footprints through history. And it's very interesting because everyone agrees that there's a group like this somewhere in the background, but they've never unified the information around it. You can go back to the work of Donald Kehoe and some of these early guys, and they said there's this thing called the Silence Group. And they're basically getting the silence of these top generals in the Air Force. And if they don't get the silence, then they silence them. Well, you know, the Silence Group is the Ex-Protect group. It comes from
the
same thing.
Sure, I want to get back to that in a moment. But what do you make of Burchett? We don't know what he was briefed on, but he said it would set the world on fire. He said it would set the world, he didn't say on fire, but it would panic everybody. What do you think he's being briefed with?
Well, this is very interesting because this is part of a program too. When things start to get hot and heavy, you look at people like Burchett, Burleson, and Luna. They've all been brought forward as the UFO people, right? For some reason, they're congressional people who talk about UFOs. Now, there's no real interesting reason in the background why they should, but even Gates was in that program as well. So there's something in that loop. I know there's a Florida connection because Rubio also talked about the UFO file. So there's something in the root of all this where they're trying to say something in the background is saying there's a whole wave of this technology that's coming in. We're going to reveal this
technology. And Vance is positioning himself as that.
He is. There's no question about it. He's supposed to be the first. Who's the one who can talk openly about it to a new generation. And the only thing I think is fascinating about what he's doing is calling it a demon. You see, if you're a VP and you call a UFOs demons, you are really, you know, that is a totally, think about national security. It's taking this guy's idea. Where is he coming from by saying UFOs are demons? You know, so when I think about-
And you know, that's been approved, that's been war game, that's been planned. So in your opinion, yeah. Why is he doing that?
I think what they're trying to do, they're going to reveal UFOs and they want to take the Christian audience, which is generally will look at this and say, you know, it's outside of Christian purview with the UFO file. But that's not actually true, but that's how they view it. And they say, we're going to be able to pull this in by saying, hey, they're interdimensional devils. We'll just pull them in this way. And that's how they're a threat. And therefore, we have a war office. We're fighting demons. And they also have been trying to get
tremendous amounts of money. That goes to Stephen Greer forever saying they're trying to demonize it for a war. But that's
yes, he does. He's made that point. There's no question about it. I think the only problem I get with some of that is, of course, there's a mix here, which is there's also the Space Brothers idea, right? And this is incredible, benevolent Pleiadian groups that are going to come here and rescue humanity. Well, we're in a very interesting paradigm because we need to learn about these things, but we need to learn that the information we're getting on the government side is a complete lie. And the reason that they're lying,
but he has his connections to Israel, the Rockefellers, and others. There's definitely an obsession in that group with it. But you know, generally, yes. I think a lot of what he's saying is being validated. So let me ask you this from your research, not getting into speculation, but just generally what's thought, because you have all these whistleblowers on talk shows. Oh, I met with the reptoid. I met with the, but you know, they threatened to kill me, but I'm like, it's obviously fake. You can see it. But looking at this versus interdimensional versus visitors versus whatever, what are the known, like who is it supposedly Eisenhower met with or what is it?
Well, I think you have off-world visitors. I don't think there's any question about that. But at the same time, if you go deep into it, you're going to find the Atlantean explanation for much of this.
No, I agree with you that it is actually a real breakaway civilization. The globalists say they're going to create high-tech reservations, keep us like animals at an agrarian level, and that the Earth will just be like a nature preserve, as Jeff Bezos said. Well, that already happened. I agree. They're humanoid, whatever. It's breakaway humans. That's what most people I talk to say it is, that basically are now use us as a form of entertainment or body parts, or they still need the old to control the new, or there's some fetish keeping us around. That this isn't aliens. This is This is what we hear about with all the ancient cultures, you know, going back to all the ancient texts. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And when you think about it, the people who were very serious on these subjects, like John Mack, who I got a chance to know, he was over here at Harvard as a professor, as a tenured professor, and they went after him amazingly. He died maybe about 10 years ago, but he had this incredible background, and he went into this subject, and he got attacked for it. And it was interesting, when I talked to him, he said, well, it's nothing at all like we understand, because when the people get abducted in these experiences, they go through things. It's not like they get put into a ship and grabbed and dragged along. They go through walls. So there's a whole different dynamics. There's a whole different physics that's involved here. This is the apotheum. This is the physical reality distortion physics that goes along with this. That's the problem.
But this goes back to the Epic of Gilgamesh, Sumeria. It all describes this. So does the Old Testament. So the Egyptians. So you hear all this new stuff, but it's in all the ancient texts. So clearly, this isn't just modern propaganda. They're trying to spin it. There's something else going on.
There's no question about it. And no, this phenomena has been with us since the beginning of time. There's no question about that. This goes all the way back to the Mayans and the Egyptians. I'm glad you mentioned Gilgamesh, because that is actually the original Noah's Ark story. And there's a line in there where they're taking him up in this ship, and he's looking down and he says, oh, the earth looks like porridge. Well, if you were going up fast in a craft and looking down at the earth, that would be your explanation in 3000 BC, that the earth looks like porridge. There's a series of biblical references in around the UFO file. The Ezekiel reference is fascinating, but if you look deeply into that with the wheels within a wheels and the eyes that shift and the wings, he's describing a gigantic machine, and there's no question.
But then he says the creature, the angel, comes off on a floating platform in the Hebrew and Arabic with a crystal dome over its head, and then communicates with him. I mean, it's literally Close Encounters.
It is. And what's interesting about that is he's talking about crystals there, and he calls it the terrible crystal. Well, that's very interesting, because Casey's whole story in relation to Atlantis was they had the terrible crystal. They had the two-eye stone that powered the civilization, but it took everything down. So it was a technology on one hand, but what was the other aspect of it? Well, Casey said they used it to communicate with the saintly realm. So the technology being used is an interdimensional device.
Communication system.
Yes. Yes, and it goes both ways, because what they're talking about, when you talk about demons and other things, there's no question that that's a reality. You know, it's fascinating. I had a conversation with Graham Hancock, and Graham Hancock's done a lot of psychedelic experience things, but he's the Atlantis expert, and I had him out here in Cambridge, and we did a whole interview series. Well, it was interesting, because what he said was when he was doing these ayahuasca trips with the DMT and all the rest of it, what was he seeing? He was seeing grays. So the grays were popping into his experience while he was doing this interdimensional thing.
By the way, everybody does.
Everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a classic elf, though. They're grays with like little green hats. And if they get pissed off, they'll pull it off. Like you said, they're like a praying mantis. This is like universal.
It is. And that's a whole shapeshifter quality depending on our own subconscious. I think that that is an absolute fact. But it's interesting to me, because a guy like Hancock wasn't even into UFOs, but they're popping into his experience. So they have a way to dance between physical reality. They show up, they disappear. And then when people are into these psychedelic spiritual seeking trips, they show up there as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, our brain is the control panel. So
yes, exactly.
A real enemy doesn't show up with tanks. It goes into your brain.
Right, exactly. And your brain is the interactive point. It's interesting, when they've gone to redevelop the craft, some of the very clear cases, it's much fuzzier now after the fact with these whistleblowers. But if you go into the older cases, you find the actual facts of these people who came forward and said, when we sent people in to redevelop the craft, a number of strange experiences happened to them. They couldn't spend more than 20 minutes inside those craft.
Because
that's
the
how
veil
it
was lifted.
Exactly. So it's not just like, hey, there's a crashed UFO and a bunch of dead bodies. You're dealing with a whole, as you mentioned, interdimensional experience when you're dealing with this. Because if those people, when they interact at that level, they start seeing their loved ones who are deceased, or they start having psychic experience. Why does, in a number of those cases of the UFO contactees, their psychic experience goes off the charts? Suddenly they become telepathic. Suddenly they become psychic, you know, they can do psychic trance readings. They can see into the future. Well, obviously, the interactions brought them to an entirely different level, and that's opened up some latent quality deep inside.
It activates the synapses that we are all electrochemical transceivers. It's been proven. That's how, you know, yes, Geese can fly 3,000 miles. Wow, 2 minutes, absolutely. We're right back with Daniel List. This is so important, folks. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.